The Book of Daniel, Number 24, Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, and Belshazzar, Key Takeaways. The article suggests that the books of Daniel and Revelation are essentially the same book, much like the Old Testament and New Testament are part of the same biblical narrative. It argues that just before probation closes, the revelation of Jesus Christ is unsealed, quoting Revelation 22, verse 10 to 13 as evidence. The article introduces the concept of the rule of first mention, which states that the end of something is illustrated by its beginning. It emphasizes the significance of the first three chapters of the book of Daniel in relation to the books of Daniel and Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ in Revelation 1:1-3 is presented as a message to be conveyed to the churches when the time is at hand, which is just before probation closes in Revelation chapter 22. The article identifies the latter rain message of the second angel and midnight cry as the final message unsealed just before probation closes. It also mentions the hidden history of the seven thunders and the revelation of the eighth being of the seven. It suggests that Daniel chapters 1 through 3 represent the three-step testing process, similar to the three angels' messages of Revelation 14. Chapters 4 and 5 of Daniel are said to represent profound prophetic history, including various prophetic lines and significant years such as 723 BC, 1798, and 1989. The seven-times symbol is highlighted as marking both the beginning and ending of certain prophetic periods in Daniel and Revelation. The article emphasizes the importance of applying the biblical methodology of line upon line to understand these revelations. It criticizes theological authorities for claiming that sealed books cannot be understood, emphasizing the need for a deeper spiritual understanding of prophecy. The article warns of spiritual deception and references the influence of fallen angels in leading people away from the truth. Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar are mentioned as representing different aspects of prophetic history, with Nebuchadnezzar aligning with the first angel's message and Belshazzar with the third angel's message. The article hints at a continuation of the study of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar in the next article. Finally, it highlights the importance of recognizing and heeding the opportunities for spiritual growth and obedience to God's will. The books of Daniel and Revelation are the same book, just as assuredly as the Old Testament and the New Testament are the same book. Just before probation closes, the revelation of Jesus Christ is unsealed. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 22, verse 10 to 13. The biblical rule of first mention, which includes the truth that the end of a thing is illustrated by the beginning of a thing, emphasizes the significance of the first three chapters of the book of Daniel, for they are the first truth mentioned in the book, that is, the books of Daniel and Revelation. Jesus is Alpha and Omega. So the beginning of the book, that is the books of Daniel and Revelation, must represent the truth which is unsealed at the end. At one level, then, the truth which is unsealed is the everlasting gospel of the angels of Revelation 14. The revelation of Jesus Christ that is introduced in the first verse of chapter 1 of Revelation is the message that is to be conveyed to the churches when the time is at hand, and the time that is at hand in chapter 1 of Revelation must be the same time that is at hand, just before probation closes in chapter 22 of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:1-3. The message that is the final message, which is unsealed just before probation closes, when the time is at hand, is the latter rain message of the second angel and midnight cry. It is the truth connected with the hidden history of the seven thunders. It is the revelation of the eighth being of the seven, and the golden thread that weaves all these precious revelations together into the beautiful garment of Christ's righteousness is the precious seven times of Leviticus 26. Daniel chapter 1, and then again Daniel chapters 1 through 3, is that message. The secret of chapter 2 is also that message. Chapter 1 of Daniel represents the first angel's message. And just as all the prophetic waymarks of all three angels' messages are represented in the first angel's message of chapter 14 of Revelation, all the prophetic waymarks of all three messages are represented in chapter 1 of Daniel. Those elements are the three-step testing process, which in Daniel chapter 1 represents a dietary test that is followed by a visual test which leads to a litmus test. Chapter 1, when considered in relation to chapters 2 and 3, represents the dietary test, and chapter 2 the visual test, and chapter 3 the litmus test. The three angels' messages of Revelation 14 and Daniel chapters 1 through 3 provide four witnesses to the three-step testing process. Chapters 4 and 5 of Daniel represent a very profound line of prophetic history. The line produced by those two chapters contains at least six distinct prophetic lines. One of those prophetic lines begins in the year 723 BC and continues through to the Sunday Law. Another of the six lines represents the history of 1798 through to the Sunday Law, and in that line, three lines of prophecy are simultaneously represented: the line of the Earth Beast, the United States, then the line of the Protestant Horn, and also the line of the Republican Horn. Together, they establish a fifth line in the beginning of the prophetic line of the United States. That line marks the unsealing of chapters 7, 8, and 9 of Daniel in 1798. At the ending of the prophetic line of the United States, a sixth line is produced, which marks the unsealing of chapters 10, 11, and 12 in 1989. The beginning of the prophetic line of the Earth Beast, as represented by Daniel chapter 4, is marked by the symbol of the seven times. And the ending of the prophetic line of the Earth Beast is also marked by the symbol of the seven times. The beginning and ending of the period of history that is represented by the unsealing of chapters 7, 8, and 9 is also marked by the symbol of the seven times. The beginning and ending of the period of history that is represented by the unsealing of Daniel chapters 10, 11, and 12 is also marked by the seven times. The ending of the period of history that began when Daniel chapters 7, 8, and 9 were unsealed at the time of the end in 1798 was 1863. The beginning of the period of history that began when Daniel chapters 10, 11, and 12 was unsealed at the time of the end was 1989. From 1863 to 1989 equates to 126 years. 126 years is a tenth, or a tithe, of 1,260 years. The number 126 is therefore a symbol of the 1,260 years that represent the wilderness, which in turn is a symbol of the 2,520 years of the seven times. This reality identifies that in the history of the Earth Beast, in the movement of the first angel at the beginning, and then at the movement of the third angel at the ending, are marked at their beginnings and endings with the seven times. And the period of time between those two movements which binds them together is also represented by the seven times. Without applying the biblical methodology of line upon line, this type of revelation is impossible to see and understand. For without that methodology, the sealed book could be given to one who was educated in the art of theology, and then he could be asked for an explanation of what the book that was sealed meant. His pride of opinion would lead him to point out that the sealed book cannot be understood, for it was sealed. You could then take that sealed book and give it to one of the flock that is controlled and neutered by that enlightened one, and the flock that has become comfortable dining on the theologian's dishes of fables would decline from making an application of the sealed book, for they know full well, that only those that are members of the theological Sanhedrin have been appointed to decide what truth is. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine, they stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men delivered to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouths, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts afar from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work, and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He had no understanding? Every word of this will be fulfilled. There are those who do not humble their hearts before God, and who will not walk uprightly. They hide their true purposes, and keep in fellowship with the fallen angel, who loveth and maketh a lie. The enemy puts spirit upon the men whom he can use to deceive those who are partially in the dark. Some are becoming imbued with the darkness that prevails, and are setting the truth aside for error. The day pointed out by prophecy is come. Jesus Christ is not understood. Jesus Christ is to them a fable. At this stage of the earth's history, many act like drunken men. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. A spiritual drunkenness is upon many who suppose they are the people who shall be exalted. Their religious faith is just as is represented in this scripture. Under its influence, they cannot walk straight. They make crooked paths in their course of action. One and then another, they reel to and fro. They are looked upon by the Lord with great pity. The way of truth they have not known. They are scientific schemers, and those who could and should have helped, because of a clear spiritual eyesight, are themselves deceived and are sustaining an evil work. The developments of these last days will soon become decided. When these spiritualistic deceptions are revealed to be what they really are, the secret workings of evil spirits, those who have acted a part in them will become as men who have lost their minds. Wherefore the Lord saith, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay, for shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He had no understanding? It is presented to me that in our experience we have been and are meeting this very condition of things. Men who have had great light and wonderful privileges have taken the word of leaders who think themselves wise, who have been greatly favored and blessed by the Lord, but who have taken themselves out of the hands of God and placed themselves in the ranks of the enemy. The world is to be flooded with specious fallacies. One human mind, accepting these fallacies, will work upon other human minds who have been turning the precious evidence of God's truth into a lie. These men will be deceived by fallen angels, when they should have stood as faithful guardians, watching for souls, as they that must give an account. They have laid down the weapons of their warfare, and have given heed to seducing spirits. They make of no effect the counsel of God, and set aside his warnings and reproofs, and are positively on Satan's side, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Spiritual drunkenness is now upon men who ought not to be staggering as men under the influence of strong drink. Crimes and irregularities, fraud, deceit, and unfair dealing fill the world, in accordance with the teaching of the leader who rebelled in the heavenly courts. History is to be repeated. I could specify what will be in the near future, but the time is not yet. The forms of the dead will appear through the cunning device of Satan, and many will link up with the one who loveth and maketh a lie. I warn our people that right among us some will turn away from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and by them the truth will be evil spoken of. Battle Creek Letters 123-125. Daniel chapter 1, representing the message of the first angel of Revelation 14, aligns with the beginning history of the earth beast. Daniel chapters 1, 2 and 3, representing the messages of all three angels in Revelation 14, aligns with the history at the ending history of the United States. Nebuchadnezzar represents the history of the first angel and the first chapter of Daniel. Belshazzar represents the history of the third angel and the first three chapters of Daniel. To the last ruler of Babylon, as in type to its first, had come the sentence of the divine watcher. O king, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. Daniel 4:31. Prophets and Kings 5:33. We will continue our study of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar in the next article. Belshazzar, awed by this representation of God's power, showing that they had a witness, though they knew it not, had great opportunities of knowing the works of the living God and his power and of doing his will. He had been privileged with much light. His grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had been warned of his danger in forgetting God and glorifying himself. Belshazzar had a knowledge of his banishment from the society of men and his association with the beasts of the field, and these facts, which ought to have been a lesson to him, he disregarded as if they had never occurred, and he went on repeating the sins of his grandfather. He dared to commit the crimes which brought God's judgments upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was condemned, not alone that he himself was doing wickedly, but that he had not availed himself of opportunities and capabilities, if cultivated, of being right. Testimonies to Ministers 4:36.